Hello, showbiz monkeys, visitors, slash listeners, slash...
Connoisseurs of comedy
and everything else. We're here with the showbizmonkeys.com sort of kind of...
It's like a podcast.
It's like a podcast, but there's nothing regular about it. So.
Love that was the full name.
Yeah.
It's kind of sort of... It's like a podcast, but... Yeah.
It's not, but it is. I mean, you're listening to this.
Yeah.
You probably downloaded it.
So it is. But it... Yeah.
We're covering the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal.
Yeah.
And our next interview is with one of the performers of said festival, Mr. Hannibal Buress. He's written...
Definitely has the best name as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, definitely.
Hannibal Buress. It's such a strong start to a soft, caring end.
Yes, indeed. He's written for lots of great shows. He's written for SNL. Now he writes for 30 Rock.
Oh, boy.
I talked to him recently. It was possibly one of the most awkward interviews I've ever done. So.
Probably more endearing.
Yeah, it's just a little endearing.
Yeah.
I asked some stupid questions, but it happens.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah.
Here it is, your interview with Hannibal Buress on Showbiz Monkeys, kind of like, it's basically like a podcast.
Thanks, Jim Gray.
Yeah, welcome.
This is Hannibal Buress. Welcome to showbizmonkeys.com. Around this town, I'm all right.
Can you talk about your early influences in comedy and what made you decide to give it a try in the first place?
Well, I started doing comedy because when I was 19 years old, I was still staying at home and my parents got kidnapped by ninjas. My father is in the feta cheese business. And they were really successful. We were living in Louisville, Kentucky, and some competing feta cheese people, they got really upset, and they hired ninjas to kidnap my family, and those ninjas wouldn't release my family unless I did a stand-up comedy set. So I did a set, and I did really well. And I thought that I wouldn't keep on doing stand-up because I started under such traumatic circumstances, but I kept with it.
Well, that's a pretty good way to start.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been fun ever since.
So I understand that you started doing open mics in Chicago around the same time as a bunch of other really funny comics who are getting noticed these days, like John Roy, Kyle Kinane, Dion Cole.
All those guys are older than me.
Okay.
No, they all been doing comedy a little bit long. I didn't start, like, Dion Cole was established in Chicago by the time I started. John Roy and, Kinane left Chicago right around the time I started. But there's some other guys that I sort of, out of my school, like TJ Miller and Kumail and Pete Holmes and Mike Bridenstine. So cause those are more out of my peer group.
It must have been kind of crazy all starting out or doing stuff around the same time locally.
It was you're just performing, man. It wasn't, I mean, I don't know if it was crazy. It's just, you're just trying to get on stage and perform. So that was the main thing was as a young comic, was trying to get work and get as many opportunities as possible.
Was it helpful to have other strong comics around you that you were performing with to keep your game up?
I guess looking back, I mean, you do want to, when it's a bunch of good comics on a set, you do want to, have a good set, or you want to kind of, you gauge your set off of how other people did. So I guess, you know, and you kind of see other people doing good work, and that's even the case now when there's other good comics on the show, you kind of want to hold your own.
Now, how would you describe your comedy style to people who might not have heard it before? It's definitely unique.
I tell those people to go watch a YouTube video, and I would end my conversation with them if they asked me to describe my comedy style. But yeah, I don't like describing shit. It's just like, it's easy to see what someone does. So I would direct them to YouTube, and then I'd tell them it's like that, but it'll be, if they came to my show, it'll be live instead of them in front of their computer.
You've done some TV writing the last couple of years.
Yeah.
What are the differences between the writing rooms on SNL and 30 Rock? Is there less urgency now writing on 30 Rock, so it's not live every week?
30 Rock's more, it's still urgency, actually. I mean, because you have to write pretty quick, and then you have to, you write the episode, then it's a rewrite, and then there's a read through, and then you make an edit for the read through. So sometimes, I mean, an episode is getting taped while some other rewrites might be getting done. You know what I mean? So it's, but it is a different level of urgency where it's not week to week, but it is still, sometimes we will be ahead by a couple episodes, and then sometimes we would be writing something on Friday that will be taping on Monday. So it's definitely a little bit different, but it's still, you have to work pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure everyone in the world asks you this question, but I feel like I have to. How has it been in a writing room with Tina Fey and all of that talent?
It's all right. I mean, Tina Fey, she's really sharp. Sometimes it'd be kind of intimidating, but she was really good. And she's you know, like from SNL and all these other things. It'd be really crazy kind of being in a room with her. Like, oh, man, it's Tina Fey. And sometimes I would kind of clam up a little bit. But she's really sharp, and she knows what she likes, and she's really good.
Now, you've made a few small appearances on the show and elsewhere. Is acting something you'd like to do more of, or are you content doing stand-up and writing?
I like to do more acting just because that it's fun, and you get your face out there, and it kind of draws more people to your stand-up. So it's definitely something I want to do more.
Right now you're doing club dates across the U.S. Do you like going back out on the road during your time off from the show?
Yeah, I enjoy going out a bunch. It's nice to just get out there, and I'm headlining most of the time, so I'm doing longer sets as opposed to doing 12 or 15-minute sets, which is the norm in New York. So it's nice just to get out there, and when you perform more, you just get better. So it's not, I feel myself kind of growing as a stand-up and getting more comfortable in front of audiences. So it's been really cool, and it makes for some interesting experiences.
Are there any gigs at this point in your career that have really stood out for you?
I did Gathering of the Juggalos last year. That was a lot of fun. That was a crazy place. I thought it was going to go horrible. But it ended up going all right. People didn't throw anything at me, which I think is a win for them. but I got out of there a couple hours after.
Uh-huh.
It's a crazy place. People are doing drugs in the open and selling drugs, and very fat women that shouldn't be showing their bodies are showing their bodies. Who am I to say they shouldn't show their bodies?
Right, right.
But they were. And maybe some people liked it more than others.
Did you seek out that gig, or was it offered to you?
It was offered to me. I think they called my agency trying to book someone else, but that person didn't want to do it, and so I got the gig.
Since this interview is for the Just for Laughs Festival, I want to talk about that a bit. This won't be your first time performing in Montreal at Just for Laughs. What do you think of the city and the festival in general?
The festival is a fun time. I like performing at the festival. It's a lot. Because everybody's there. I get to see a lot of comedians that I don't normally get to work with. That's the real good thing about festivals, and it's a lot of headliners, and headliners usually don't get to work with each other or really hang out unless you're in New York or L.A. So I get to see a lot of old friends, and the city is a lot of fun. I haven't had long stints in Montreal. I've only been there, like last year I was there for two or three nights, and my first time there maybe three nights. So this time I think I'll be there for about 9 or 10 nights. So that'll be nice, because when you get to spend that amount of time in the city, you really get a feel for it and get to kind of live there, as opposed to just making a quick trip and bounce, and I get to see a lot of stuff and do a lot of things.
You've done the Just for Laughs Chicago as well, I believe.
Yeah.
How do the two festivals compare? I know the Chicago festival is only a few years old now.
Yeah, it's different because Montreal, I'm not sure exactly how long Montreal has been going, but it's been going for a while. And the Chicago festival is more, they have more bigger shows, I guess. But now they're starting to have shows that focus on some newcomers and focus on the local Chicago comedy scene. But it's a newer festival, but it's a lot of fun. But Montreal has been going, I mean, it's an international festival, so people come from around the world.
Well, the Montreal Festival is considered, you know, probably the biggest comedy festival in the world, next to the Edinburgh Fringe, which you're also doing this year, I believe.
Yeah, I am.
You're there for for a good chunk of a month. How much are you looking forward to spending that much time in Scotland?
I'm looking forward to it now, but you can ask me how I feel about it a couple weeks into it, and then my answer might be different, or I might be more excited. So, yeah, I've never spent that much time in a place doing comedy. So, yeah, it's 26, 27 days, so that's a long time to be away from home. Beyond that, I spent maybe 2 weeks away. I was in Australia for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And even then, I got at about 8 days in, I was kind of homesick. I was thinking, man, I've seen what I want to see in Australia. So we'll see. But it's a good opportunity to perform there because you can kind of establish yourself internationally, which is fun.
And yeah, you mentioned with the Chicago Just Last Festival that they're doing more stuff with up and coming comics. Are there any? I know you host a show weekly, the Knitting Factory, I believe, in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any good up and coming comics that you've noticed that you're hoping yourself will kind of break out in the next little while?
No. Neil Diamond just started doing stand-up. I like his set a little bit. He got good stage presence.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know. I like a lot of comics, but then when I get into naming people, you forget people. And then,
oh, okay, yeah. That's
fair. It's a lot of good people.
So people should just check out your show every week in New York when you're not on the road, and then...
Yeah, check out my show every week in New York, and check out a bunch of shows in New York. There's a lot of good weekly shows in New York that are... free or cheap. Eugene Merman's show on Sundays. It's on break for the summer, but he has a good show, and there's Hot Tub, and there's Whiplash, and there's a show at Cabot on Thursdays, and Big Terrific Wins. There's so many weekly good shows we can see that stand up, so in New York, it's a really good comedy scene.
And lastly, I just wanted to ask you how familiar you are with the whole comedy nerddom right now that's kind of taking over with the alt comedy scene, and you're fairly popular in that whole online world of comedy nerds and comedy geeks. Is that something you noticed that has come around over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there are some people that enjoy my comedy. That's a vague ass question, right?
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
The comedy nerd scene. I mean, there are some people that like that are very that they kind of seek out underground comedy or seek out newer stand-ups. But yeah, I see that, and people, a lot of people hit me up online. And
do you have people like traveling to see you live and that kind of stuff these days?
I've had people travel a few hours or something like that for a gig, but nothing too crazy. But to me, that's kind of crazy when somebody's like, yeah, we drove 3 hours. What? But thank you.
ShowbizMonkeys.com.